Hey everyone, it's Ryan here, and we're excited to bring you another great episode. In today's episode, T and I share our thoughts on if baseball is still America's sport. Later in the show, we give our takes on who is the best sidekick in sports history. Stick around, it's showtime. Hey everyone, my name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thurlgood.
What's up, everybody?
We want to welcome you to Water Break. Here on our show, we are going to have conversations with each other, as well as with a variety of other guests who are just as involved and as passionate about sports as we are.
From professional athletes, to coaches, to college players trying to make it big, to the high school athlete trying to earn that scholarship, and everyone in between.
Whether you're a coach, player, or just a fan, we are here to have unique dialogue and perspectives on topics we have thought about, talked about, and are now excited to bring to you.
So be sure to stick around, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're using right now, and get ready to relax and take a water break. All right, welcome back to another episode of Water Break. Ryan, you ready for this episode today?
I am, because I love me some Major League Baseball.
Yeah, this is a lot of you. I do watch baseball from time to time, but you are the baseball guy.
I do love baseball, and I am very pleased with my Dodgers this year. You're a Dodger fan.
Yeah,
you're a Dodger fan. Yeah. That's the one sport we agree with as far as our team. I'm very pleased with them. I'm very happy that they inked Mookie with that deal. It's a huge deal, but he's producing, and so very pleased with that. And I'm excited to talk baseball today because this is a little bit of a touchy subject. Not a touchy subject, but a lot of people have different opinions on this, and I could kind of see it going either way. So let's jump right into it.
All right.
And we are talking about baseball specifically being America's sport.
Yeah. So
is it?
Okay. Go back to the history of baseball, right? I mean, baseball was probably the first big spectator sport in American history, right? So you had
It's called America's pastime.
Yeah, so you had other sports that were around, right? Basketball, but that was a, you know, PE activity. You know, football was mainly in the college realm, but like the first one like to be really professional mainstream spectator was baseball, you know. So you go all the way back to the early 1900s, right? So over time, like, it's been a part of American tradition, you know. It's like apple pie, hot dogs, 4th of July, baseball, right? That's like, that is America tradition, right?
Yeah.
American tradition. So, but now, like, with other sports rising, I mean, we talked about it a couple episodes ago, esports obviously coming up, but then just football and now combat sports. And even the NBA, baseball is losing its momentum and losing its, not even momentum, I think it's just losing its ground on being America's sport. And I don't think it's America's sport anymore. And I strongly believe, they got a lot of people who say like, oh, the game is slow, but baseball has done a lot to speed up the game.
They've done a lot. Yeah, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago they did a lot to speed it up.
But I think baseball is not America's sport because of the scandals. Like, there's just too many, like, the steroid controversy, and then obviously the most recent is the Astros cheating and the league not doing a thing about it. It's just like
their leadership is real weak.
Yeah, like why even watch this? Why even watch the sport, especially as a Dodgers fan? And you're more a diehard Dodgers fan than I am. You know, you keep track of, and I get alerts when we win or lose or something like that. But you stay on top of it.
Yeah.
But even as a fan, I just remember we were at Red Robin a couple years ago when we went to the World Series, and like the elation from, I mean, you were way more excited than I was, but I was still excited because I still grew up going to Dodgers games, you know? So the elation of like, we made it to the World Series. Like I've been alive 20 plus years. I've not seen them play in the World Series. And so that was like crazy. And then come to think, you're actually, you know, robbed out of your opportunity to win a World Series, and the league does nothing about it. It's like the league has no credibility anymore.
Nothing.
So,
and to me, it blows my mind that Pete Rose is still banned from Major League Baseball. Like, he's banned, and yet nothing happened to any of the Astros players.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, that to me is just as big of a deal. Yeah. And Pete Rose just 2 years ago petitioned so that he would be unbanned, and he wasn't. They denied his petition.
I think now they're just doing it out of spite. Like, yeah. It's just, oh, we can't let him back in. We've gone so long. There's no way we could let
him. Doing this so long. Now we can't. And it's just like, man, Pete Rose went from, I mean, he did do something stupid, you know, whatever, granted, but he went from being the top baseball player to now this dude goes to different casinos in Las Vegas and signs baseballs.
Hours. Yeah,
anyone can get like a $15 baseball signed by Pete Rose. Like, he just, that's what he does for a living now. And the poor guy, I mean, yeah, he did something stupid. He made a mistake, but for that to be so...
For you to be banned from an entire league like that.
Forever, for life. I mean, it's been life so far. And then for nothing to happen to these players. I mean, the only thing that's happened to Altuve this year is he's been hot garbage, which
yeah.
I'm very thankful for. I think he's batting like 175 right now or something like that, which, you know, to me... I'm obviously very happy for. I'm very happy that Joe Kelly did not put up with any nonsense and was yelling at the Astros. And because I just think it's ridiculous. The players are upset. Fans are upset. Not even fans of the Dodgers are upset yeah. that nothing happened to them. Can you imagine something like this happening to, I don't know, the Milwaukee Bucks or someone who's in the finals and ends up winning this year? Can you imagine Adam Silver just being like, well, the manager, I mean, the manager, the coach, you know, the coach, they let go of the coach and they let go of management. So all is good.
Yeah, we handled it.
No,
yeah.
Like there would be serious repercussions for that. And so I do agree. I think that's a huge reason why it's losing momentum. I want to share with you this, which I think you might be a little bit surprised by. You know, we've said for years, you know, baseball is America's sport. When you look at TV ratings, obviously TV ratings don't yeah. Show the same. But American football is number one for TV ratings in the United States. But you might be surprised to know that baseball is number two and basketball is number three.
Really?
Which I was yeah. shocked by. I would have assumed that basketball was number two. But this is an article that just came out in June 4th, 2020 that shows that it goes football, baseball, and then basketball.
I think the TV ratings are a little different. I think just because the NBA's fan base is, you know, 15 to, you know, 35, somewhere around there. That's probably their fan base, which is more of the social media. So, like, there's probably not a lot of, like, the NBA okay. fans who sit down and watch a full game. They're more like the highlights. I think that's why, like, a lot of pro, like, NBA fans like players more because they just yeah. follow them on social media or whatever.
I guess that makes sense because, I mean, no one really watches cable TV that much. Yeah, no teens watch cable TV yeah. here. You know, I don't have cable TV. I have someone's password I use.
Yeah, but. So we all stream, you know, you stream it on ESPN yeah. app or something like that. So I think that's why that may be, I think it's a little misleading to thinking, like, because, again, NFL, that... To sit down on a Sunday afternoon, like, that's what you do. Like, you're really not mm-hmm. out too much during NFL season like that.
I wonder if it has to do with, because it doesn't say here if it's, like, average per game or overall. Because you have to remember how many games MLB has. Yeah. Of course, they're going to have more viewers throughout an entire season because of the number of games.
And I think in the reverse, too, the NFL has a lot of viewers because there's so few yeah. games. Mm-hmm. You can't miss it. Like, that's...
And again, all the most, not all, because Thursday and Monday, but majority of the games are on people's day off.
Yeah.
Where, like you said, they're, you know, people, some people go to church, some people don't. And then typically on a Sunday, if you're a big NFL fan, you sit down and you watch NFL football for yeah. that Sunday. You specifically watch your team, but you have it on playing and it's are football. You watch casually it. Watching yeah. as a fan. I mean, you think about Thanksgiving and all of that stuff, you know, so... I do think, you know, obviously baseball's done a lot to keep it a little bit more fast paced as far as the limited time between pitches, the amount of time that a player has in the batter's box and things like that. And they've done a better job. But it definitely, it consumes a lot of your time to sit down at home and watch a game, I think, for baseball.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. As you look at these numbers, the people that would have cable TV are typically usually a little bit older and would have more time to sit at home and watch a game. And with how fast-paced our world is now, young people don't sit down, and millennials and Generation Z, they don't just sit down to watch at home 3 hours worth of game. Like you said, it's more consisting of highlights and watching that. And so I think because of that, and baseball doesn't, they're not really progressive with their social media and, you know, like the NBA gets very political and they draw in people there, and their social media presence is great. And I think it's because they give their players a voice, which creates, when that closeness with the fans and the players, when they get attached to a player, like you said, because that's kind of the new way of NBA basketball is they follow players now. That does a lot of good for the league. And baseball doesn't really do that. You know, you think about who's the face of the MLB right now?
Yeah, they mean like Aaron Judge.
Mike Trout. And Mike Trout is a super boring guy.
Both of them. I mean, like, both of them aren't like really charismatic
people. And you think about the NBA, like LeBron.
Yeah.
He's a very outspoken, like you said, a very charismatic person. And that does really good for the league. There's nobody I think about in the MLB. I mean, Mookie, who's, you know, a top tier player, who's, he's kind of quiet himself too. You know, he's not really controversial. There's nothing that he's, you know, he's not really outspoken about anything. And so I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. That's crazy. You brought that like up. Now I'm thinking about it. Like even like going back to the Dodgers and then, you know, even Red Sox, like Manny Ramirez, like he was that he was that crazy dude. Like, so you just, you watched him for a lot of the antics that he did. And of course you got like, you've got him, and then you compare him to like a guy like, you know, Derek Jeter, who, you know, who's the sharp, you know, stand up guy, but he's, you know, he's a strong face of the league, but
he'll still be like with it. He would be outspoken against his teammates, and him and A-Rod having that beef and stuff like that. Like, that was really intriguing, really engaging. There's not much of that anymore. And the stuff that's controversial just makes you upset. Like we talked about.
Yeah.
Like the scandal, like that with the Astros, like that's not like something we want to talk about. Like that's something that makes us mad.
Yeah. When you're talking about baseball now and you bring up baseball, it's like, or, you know, you brought up Joe Kelly or like getting suspended, you know, for throwing at the,
you got suspended for eight games.
Like, come on, like you're going to really suspend him for that, but then not do anything about the Astros. Like every time you're talking about, like not every time.
Because of what he did, Joe Kelly got suspended more than all of the Astros combined for cheating.
Yeah.
All the Astro players.
And that's where, you said, the leadership of baseball is there's so many inconsistencies. Like, that doesn't even...
Rob Manfred, who's the commissioner of Major League Baseball, needs to be gone.
Yeah.
I think they should just vote in Adam Silver to take over the three major sports leagues in the United States.
Run both leagues. I mean, Goodell, as much as, like, he's, like, you know, can be a real hard-nosed guy and like can be a little inconsistent too. Like, I think the NFL has still made way, like him implementing more of the instant replay on some, on,
he's made some good
decisions. I think even the way they did the NFL draft, was good with, you know, the virtual fans. Like, they were the first one to put the fans in the experience virtually.
And they actually had some good, the NFL had some good ideas. They were going to do it in Vegas at the Bellagio, right? Mm-hmm. And they were going to boat them in and stuff. Like, remember that, all that stuff? Like, that was going to be really cool. Like, it seemed like they were making really good strides. But Major League Baseball needs to do something. They need to get into that younger crowd. And I feel like, you know, in my group of friends, I am like, you know, I'm a diehard Dodgers fan and I enjoy Major League Baseball a lot. I talk about it a lot, and it doesn't seem like people, I mean, like, you enjoy it, but it doesn't seem like anyone my age, like, is really excited about it with me, you know?
And I think
my family, we were raised, we watched Major League Baseball all the time. My little brother, Zach, is a huge Angels fan, and he constantly follows up with the Angels, and so we have a lot of discussion about Major League Baseball. But other than that, there's not many people my age who are just as excited about like baseball as I am. And so what do you think, T, they can do to, obviously we talked about, you know, finding someone to be that face of the league or
yeah.
That kind of changes the narrative a little bit about that baseball's boring or it's slow. What can they do?
Yeah, I think they need to add some sort of dynamic, like that's somewhat of a rule change, but that'll make it exciting. Like one thing that came to my head, I was just thinking of a couple seconds ago, was like even with like with the pitchers, you know, you have like relief pitchers or different, you know, you switch pitchers. But almost if they were able to do it kind of like how hockey does, right? You can just like just jump, you know, jump out of the box and just keep skating. Like almost like with a pitcher, if he could just, you know, you strike out a player and then he can just come out of the bullpen and then just pitch. And then you can just go right back to the previous pitcher and you can switch it up without him. And again, he doesn't have to like warm up for 15 minutes before you go, okay, we're going to take a break for 10 minutes, let him warm up. And then we're going to go back to the game. It's like, what if he's just warming up in the bullpen and you can just go, hey, we're switching pitchers, right? And you just can jump in and, you know, whatever. And I think that would be like just a cool dynamic to just throw in there. And it's like,
I think you would lose some of those.
You lose your traditional, but you talk about bringing in the younger fans. You're going to lose some of the older fans. Like, oh, I like the way it was before, you know, but I think maybe there's some of those
boys there.
But I think maybe some of the younger ones, they're like maybe a little bit intrigued about how maybe fast paced the game could be, or just switch it up with a cool dynamic, or let them fight each other.
like old school hockey.
Yeah. Like, you know, if they're going to charge the mound, like let them go at it. You know, of course you kick them out of the game afterwards, but let them actually
fight. I'm not sure about that specific rule change, but I think I get your, where you're going. Like, there needs to be some sort of change that creates a spark or interest in this younger generation to it's like, that intrigues me to now I want to see how that plays out. And they need to gain a better social media. I mean, you look at SportsCenter. I mean, baseball is hard. I mean, even when I was in high school, I used to watch SportsCenter all the time, and baseball highlights, they went over like every big game that day. And now on SportsCenter, unless something like crazy happens, even in the offseason in the NBA, they're talking more about NBA basketball than they are MLB.
Yeah.
You know, they'll talk about free agents and signings, you know, when Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies and when Mookie was traded, and you know, they'll talk about those big things, but really it doesn't get the respect there. And so I don't know why.
I think too, maybe another factor in baseball is there's so many players in the league. Like even you go to the minor leagues and the major leagues, there's so many players that can play that it's almost like a star player there's a players who have great, they have a good season, 2-3 seasons where they're really good. But then it's like, it's the next guy up. Like we're going to move someone in. Like when you, In baseball, like you really can't afford to have down a year or two.
I think that's why,
because it's another guy coming in.
That's why Mike Trout's so great.
Yeah.
It's because he's been this good for this long, but he doesn't draw people in. You know, Angel fans love him. And because he's amazing, he's the best player in baseball, which is, I mean, we're not going to do tons of episodes on baseball, but I think we need to do an episode on baseball. Where does Mike Trout need to go? Because that dude needs to leave Anaheim. They are doing nothing for him. Him being the face, being the best player of the league for the past 8 seasons or whatever, I think he's 29. So 8 seasons, he's been the best player in baseball. He doesn't have a fan base. I mean, think about the majority of people in the world. Even if you're not a basketball fan, if LeBron James walks into your restaurant, you're like, that's LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know basketball. You don't watch really NBA basketball that much. You know LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout.
He can walk in and be like, oh, that's that guy's pretty athletic.
Yeah. Oh, that's a pretty big dude.
Yeah.
People don't, you know, if they would say, oh, that's Mike Trout, they would be like, oh, he's the really good baseball player. I see his
banners like somewhere on the front driving on the freeway. He's the really good
baseball player. But just walking, like, he doesn't have that just face recognition. You know, the name, but like the face of when Kobe would walk somewhere, or LeBron, or Michael Jordan, or these top players, or even Jeter, you know, back 10 years ago. If Jeter walks somewhere, you know that's Derek Jeter. But Mike Trout, he just doesn't have that. These guys, these baseball players now just, they don't have that recognition. I mean, you know, for real baseball fans, they would know who he is. But I'm just talking about for the average casual fan of sports in general. And so what baseball needs to do is find a way to reach this younger generation, promote on social media, and give the players more of a voice and give them more of a platform. Promote the player, not the program.
I think
it's really important. If you promote players and not program, and mm-hmm. I think NBA has done that. NBA promotes players and they give a voice to their players and they're not just promoting the program. And that does a lot for the league. And I want to see baseball thrive. I want to see it thrive. And I want to see, you know, I want my son to enjoy going to Dodger games with me. But the way it's going for the younger generation, I don't know if I see that happening. I mean, he may be excited because I'm excited, but I want him to be excited because he loves the game of baseball.
I one thing you brought up, like you mentioned in passing, but now I'm thinking about it. Like you said, you know, Mike Trout plays in Anaheim. You know, he plays in this somewhat smaller. I mean, it's still LA. So, but I think too, baseball focuses on. I think like while the NBA can draw such a big crowd because you have Giannis in Milwaukee, is a small market town, mm-hmm. right? Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City for the longest time, another small market city. You know, you talk about like, you know, other great, now I gotta think of other top NBA players, but you get what I'm saying. Like you have other stars in mm-hmm. the NBA, Phoenix, you know, Devin Booker in Portland, you have Damian Lillard. All these other small market cities have their guy that they can like root for, or they have the stars of the league are in small markets. And you look at the big markets in the NBA, right? Like New York doesn't really have like, you know, the Knicks aren't really great to root for, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't until like the Nets got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, like, yeah, there's something to look forward to. Like the Lakers, until they got LeBron James, had this down five, six year stretch. Mm-hmm. So I think with Major League Baseball, I think it's small markets don't, like, their teams aren't worth watching, and they don't have the star players, really aren't in a lot of the small markets in Major League Baseball. Like they're all going to the Yankees, or they're maybe all going to, you know, Philly or something like that, or even, you know, mm-hmm. Washington, the Nationals. You know, they may be going there, but you get like the one season of was the Royals a couple years ago. But other than that, you have Houston winning in the World Series, LA's in the World Series, Boston's in the World Series, yep. New York's in the World Series. And so it's really only like, it's a lot of it's the big markets, Philly, you know, San Francisco, they're in the World Series, yep. but those small markets aren't. And so I think like, as a small market team for baseball, there's really not much to like yeah. really root for. So I think you do lose a lot of the fan excitement because you're really, it's like about hating on a team. Like mm-hmm. I hate the Yankees, or now I hate the Astros. Like,
yep.
Instead of rooting for a team or supporting your team.
So I think as you were talking, I think that's a big thing. And then I thought about this too, as you were talking, we talked about one great thing about the NBA is fans get connected to players. And I was thinking, why baseball, that doesn't happen as much. And it might be something that baseball really can do about it. You think about in basketball, a great all-star basketball player, for the most part, barring injuries like Derrick Rose and stuff like that, for the most part, a top tier, top 10 basketball player is in that top 10 for 10, 12 years. Yeah. Sometimes more. You know, LeBron James is in year 17, has been in the top since he came into the league. Year two, he was the top 10 player, you know? So it's like, okay, so people get connected to that. In baseball, those top tier players, their peak is much shorter, mm-hmm. especially for pitchers. Pitchers are usually good for like 3 or 4 years. They're great for 3 or 4 years. Like Clayton Kershaw's still good. He's still a very good pitcher, but he's not... Great. The Clayton Kershaw getting the Cy Young and the MVP and stuff like that. So I think that might have something to do with it. Like you mentioned earlier, how players are kind of rotating in and out. Mm-hmm. These top tier players don't have the 10 to 15 years of greatness.
There's not a lot much longevity.
I mean, Albert Pujols is still a very good baseball player. And when he came to the Angels, he was still a very good baseball player. But think about how many years with St. Louis he was really great for. 8 was it?
Yeah.
8 years. He was like great, like the best player in the league, the face of the league for that long. Like LeBron James has been the face of the league for 17 years. It'll be close to 20 years of the face of the league. Kobe Bryant was the face of the league for, I mean, he wasn't the face at the beginning, but he was a top tier player for
barely 15 years,
15, 16 years of his career. Michael Jordan, you know, he went in and out, but for, even though he left for that.
But he was the face of basketball in general.
Yeah, for like, years. Like, so I think that might be the problem because of the new way of sports fans connecting with players, they don't get connected to players in the MLB because of the transition in and out of greatness.
Yeah.
Where basketball, they can connect with someone because of how long they stay great for.
And not just basketball, like even football. Like football's your number one.
The number one position, the quarterback.
Yeah, the quarterback you can connect to, but even like we said, the markets too. Like you look at football. I mean, New England has been pretty much the kings of football, you know, the last whatever how long, 10, 15, you know, years or something like that, 15 years or so. New England's been the best, one of the best, if not the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But the Patriots prior to, you know, Belichick and Brady and all of that whole dynasty really starting, they were this irrelevant franchise. And I think, you know, you'll start to see them probably in a few years drop back off into irrelevancy. And they're somewhat of a small market team, some would say. But even other teams just, you know, teams rotate so often. Like in the NFL, you feel like your team has a shot.
Yeah.
To be in the Super Bowl or to make a run, like Kansas City, you know, making it, or Tennessee being in the championship game. Like as a football fan, you feel like your team has somewhat of a shot. Every few years, your team's going to come in, unless you're a fan of the Browns.
I was like,
or the Lions. If you're a Lions fan,
Detroit or Cleveland, or
Browns fan,
you're out.
You know, but other than that, like you feel like your team still has somewhat of a chance each year. I mean, like, you know what I mean? I'm a Broncos fan. Like, we were in Super Bowl 5 years ago, and then we have this down. But now I feel like right now we're on the way up. Like you can at least track your team. It's easier to track your team's like rise and fall as an NFL fan, because every market has this chance. Like you said, it's the quarterback. If you can nail down that position, you know, your team might go somewhere. So. That's
baseball. I want baseball to be back on top again, or at least loved by the younger generation. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it'll happen. They got to make some major changes.
Yeah.
Well, let's move into the next segment here. And this is something that I was extremely excited about talking about as well. You brought this conversation up, and immediately I had my number one pick and claimed it, because we're talking about the number one sidekicks in all of sports. And if you're a sports fan, I told you I already know mine, so you already know I won this debate. And T is going to make some great arguments, but I don't really need to even make arguments because my guy is number one. But right. T, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
I'm going to close it out here. And so I'm going to let you go.
All right. I'm going to start with my honorable mention here. And this one, I know it's probably going to rub you the wrong way. My honorable mention for best sidekick of all time. And it's hard to say that this guy was, you think of him as a sidekick, but Kobe Bryant. And rest in peace to the legendary Kobe Bryant. But in his era, in his time playing with Shaquille O'Neal, I feel like I go off of that time period where he was unbelievable, you know. A very, very tough to guard, that dynamic player. His, you know, he was a fantastic sidekick to Shaquille O'Neal. He was averaging, like, during their run, their three-peat, he was averaging 25 points a game. Shaq was averaging 28 points a game for the Lakers. And like I mentioned before, they won three straight NBA championships. Chicago and what? Did Boston ever do it? I think maybe
no. The Showtime,
just Showtime
in the modern NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
To win
like three straight championships. Mm-hmm. And Kobe, see, for like Shaq, Shaq was gonna dominate a game. Like you knew he was gonna come in and just Shaq was gonna do his thing. He was gonna rebound the basketball. Mm-hmm. He was gonna block shots, and he was gonna just to dominate the paint. But the thing about Kobe was in that era, like as the sidekick, Kobe was like, you knew he was great. You knew he was good, but he would always just, he could take over the game. I think he could take over the game, like at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, like where Shaq couldn't, like where Shaq would foul out. Like I go back to, against the Pacers. Mm-hmm. In the finals, you know, yep. Shaq would be out of the game and Kobe just would take over. Like you could see, you know, he called himself the Mamba, you know, later in his career, but the Mamba had always been there, right?
It always existed.
So it always existed. He just didn't reveal it to everyone yet. So that Mamba mode was there coming out in that finals. And so I think like in most teams, especially back then, like if your star player was down, like, you know, if Allen Iverson was injured with the Sixers, like, okay, well, they're done, you know, or if it's, you know, Tim Duncan with the Spurs, if he was down, well, they're done, or, you know, whoever it is, that mm-hmm. great player. But when your best player goes down, your second best player can just come in and not just like, oh, okay, you know, he can keep us around. Like, no, he's going to win the game for us. So that was Kobe. Kobe's my honorable mention as the best sidekick.
Can I speak?
Go ahead.
Before you go to your...
Go ahead. I knew I was going to rub you the wrong way.
Well, we talked about this before, and I, you know, my initial reaction was anger because I don't want anyone to disrespect Kobe. But when I listened to your arguments here, they were not disrespectful. I just do not agree with them because here's what I would say. I would have not labeled him as a sidekick. I would have labeled him as the second best player. I do agree. Shaq was the best player on those teams. Obviously, three final MVPs. He definitely was the best player on that team. But to me, a sidekick is a number one and a number two. And even though he was the second best player,
yeah,
No. I agree he's the second best player because you have to have a better player. But I would label them more as, rather than the second best player, I would label him as 1A and 1B. More than one and two is my opinion, but I am actually not going to be too upset because you did give him a lot of credit and listening to your argument. I was ready to be angry, but because of the respect you gave him, especially with the fourth quarter, the Mamba mentality and everything like that, I'm not going to come at you too hard. Because I do agree Shaq was the better player, but it wasn't like, it wasn't a gap worthy of saying he was the sidekick. Because I think that diminishes his contribution to the team. When you think of a sidekick, obviously you think of there is one extreme top player on the team and the other one is a sidekick. Because like for the Warriors, to me, so for like the Warriors, when they had KD, like you would never say that Steph Curry was the sidekick to Kevin Durant.
I think there's a bigger gap between Kevin Durant and Steph Curry than there was between Shaq and Kobe.
I think so too, but would you ever say Steph was his sidekick?
Yeah, I would go with Steph as his sidekick.
I don't think so because Steph was like, the leader of the team.
Like I would go with Dwayne Wade as LeBron's sidekick.
Yes, but Steph Curry was the leader of the team.
Yeah, but some people I think, I don't know. We can talk about leadership. I think we talk about leadership.
Yeah, we can talk about leadership. So, but I'm not going to hate on you too much because you did give him the respect he deserves. But let's hear your number.
My number one, who I think is the best sidekick of all time. Mm. We mentioned this team before earlier in the show. The Patriots. I'm going to go with the best sidekick is Rob Gronkowski. Gronk is the best sidekick of all time.
He's not.
Because he's just gonna say he's not.
I mean, he's a great sidekick. I'm not even gonna start.
He's just gonna say he's not.
He's a great sidekick, but he's not the best.
Not him. I mean Gronk to me is the best sidekick. I mean, you're talking about a guy who I believe had he not gotten injured as much, would have been the best tight end of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did for...
Who was the best tight end of all time? Just real quick.
The best tight end of all
time. Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp, Antonio Gates. Three top, in my opinion.
Wow, okay. So you just went with... yeah.
No, that's not an order. But I'm saying out of those three, who do you think is the best?
I would say Tony Gonzalez is the best. Tony Gonzalez is the best. I would go Gronk 2, Sharp 3, Gates 4, Kellen Winslow 5.
Oh, Gates... Okay.
Yeah. So those those are the
Gronk better than Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And if Gronk could put up more numbers like what Tony Gonzalez did, because, you know, without the injuries, I think the injuries kept Gronk from being the best of all time. But okay. But anyways, what he did for Tom Brady, as like, he was the best safety valve or best like bailout player of all time. And like when I say
throw it up.
Well, yeah, when I say bailout, like it's just when a play's down or when you just need a big play, give it to Gronk. I mean, I go back and I have to refer my teams because that's when players usually stick out. But I'm watching the Broncos and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game back in 2015. That was a crazy game. Mm-hmm. Patriots are down trying to come back. But I mean, Gronk just made some unbelievable catches. I mean, he makes a diving catch with two defenders swarming over the top of him late in the fourth quarter. But the freak athlete that he was, I mean, just, you couldn't put a linebacker on him because he was too fast. You couldn't put a safety on him because he was too big. But what he did for Tom Brady, I mean, Tom Brady's the guy. You know, he's the bat. He's mm-hmm. the Batman. But Gronkowski allowed, I feel like, really helped the Patriots in their push after, you know, because I thought Aaron Hernandez would be that next guy, right? And then, you know,
yeah,
he got into his situation. But then Gronkowski enters. Gronkowski comes in, and he allows Tom Brady to really be, you know, Tom Brady to another level in this like second phase of his career. So I feel like Gronkowski's the best sidekick and obviously the point where Tom Brady can pull him out of retirement and get him to come back and play with the Buccaneers. I don't know if he'll be I don't think he'll be the same player as he was before, but
will he still be able to make that big play?
He will be able to make that big play.
I think that's all they're going to be counting on. Yeah. They're not going to be counting on to throw to him, you know, constantly throughout the game and to have him get a bunch of minutes and get a bunch of yards and, you know, play a bunch of possessions. But I think when it matters and they need that big play, I think they'll count on
it. Yeah. Gronk's my best sidekick of all time.
And that is a great choice. It's a fantastic choice. And obviously we know what we're picking because, you know, we can't say the same one. So, you know, my number one, I'm going to start with an honorable mention and then I'm going to,
this I don't know.
Yes. But then I'm going to share with you the greatest sidekick of all time.
Okay.
So my honorable mention, going a little old school here, a little old school baseball, is Don Drysdale, pitcher, lefty pitcher for the Dodgers, an all-star, made the all-star team 9 different times, won a Cy Young, set a record with 58 consecutive scoreless innings, had his number retired, is in the Hall of Fame. But from about late 50s to into the 60s too, he was the team's number 2 starter. And that's because he was behind Sandy Koufax. Probably the greatest pitching duo in baseball history. Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, Los Angeles Dodgers. What an amazing pair. And he really was the number 2 starter. Sandy Koufax is obviously, man, greatest. Everyone would say Nolan Ryan, maybe, for strikeouts. But I would say Sandy Koufax, greatest pitcher of all time. And Don Drysdale is definitely a top 10. So to have 2 of the top 10 pitchers of all time on your squad, he was a great number 2.
Yeah.
My number 1, obviously, got a roll with Scottie Pippen. Obvious choice. I think yours was more thoughtful and more creative. Mine was more obvious and expected. But just because something is expected doesn't mean
it's good.
It does not mean it's not correct. Let's remember the year Scottie Pippen played without Michael Jordan, was an MVP candidate, averaging 21 points, 3 steals, 6 rebounds, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, an MVP candidate, leading the Bulls to the playoffs, just an amazing player without MJ. And then what he did for that Bulls team. Michael Jordan was the face of basketball, the greatest basketball player of all time. The gap was obviously significant, I think, just because of how great MJ was. Not because Scottie was insignificant, but because of MJ's greatness and what he did for that Bulls franchise, what he did for that team was absolutely amazing. Six championship runs, six championships, six, and what he meant to that team on the defensive end and being that number two to MJ, I think he's the greatest sidekick of all time. And I love the Gronk choice, but I think the people will realize and recognize and agree with me on this. T.
I like the Scottie pick. He's one of the greatest sidekicks of all time. Only reason why I hesitate, like I didn't go with Scottie, like I don't.
It's because I chose him first.
No, why
didn't you go with Scottie? Because I called dibs.
No, I didn't go with Scottie because I went with like overall impact, like which sidekick ended up with like the great career. I mean, obviously, probably Kobe had probably the better career, but like you said, like I agree with you a little bit where Kobe was like the 1B.
Mm-hmm.
But I just went with who did what more for their guy, for their player. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Gronk did more support for
I feel like Tom Brady. Mike relied on Scottie so much though.
See, I think Scottie was like, okay, guard the best player. Or Mike was like, guard the best player.
Which is so significant because I feel like you're only thinking about the offensive end. That's a very...
But my guy only plays offense. Gronk only plays offense.
Yeah, for sure. But football's completely different because it's only one-sided. But in basketball, there's no option to only play one side. So for MJ, he was an amazing defender. Fantastic defender. But I think if every single night he would have had to guard the best player, it would have diminished his offense a little bit. And so relying on Scottie to do that was a very significant and a very huge part of the Bulls championship runs.
Yeah. That's a good pick. I like this conversation. This one.
Yeah, that was great.
This one, we got to have another one similar to it.
Maybe break it down for a sport then.
Yeah. Maybe per sport.
Yeah.
You know, talk a little bit more about it.
Absolutely. There are some great sidekicks out there and some great ones we did not choose.
Yeah, we could have. There were so many other ones I thought of.
I wrote down a few other lists and I don't want to spit them out and spoil them because we may use them for a future episode.
Maybe a part two.
Yeah. But sidekicks. I think this was a really great conversation to see. There were some guys that really did a lot, some players that did a lot for their, you know, as that number two player. And so, but man, maybe you have a name that was a completely different than what we mentioned. And if you want to maybe comment on our Instagram post and let us know what you think, who you think is the greatest sidekick of all time in sports. And we'd love to hear from you on that. Or you can email us at waterbreakpod@gmail.com. That was a fun conversation, T.
Yeah, that was a good one. And thanks for joining us for today's episode. We hope to catch you on the next episode. Stay tuned. Stay hydrated.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Water Break. New episodes are released every Monday, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button to be notified when a new episode is available.
As you continue to listen to the podcast, we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to give feedback on the show, or you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send an email to waterbreakpod@gmail.com. Once again, that's waterbreakpod@gmail.com.
We'll see you on the next episode of Water Break. Stay hydrated.